Galater 3, 26 durch 29. Denn ihr seid alle Gotteskinder durch den Glauben an Christum Jesum. Denn wie viel euer auf Christum getauft sind, die haben Christum angezogen. Hier ist kein Jude noch Grieche, hier ist kein Knecht noch Freier, hier ist kein Mann noch Weib, denn ihr seid allzumal einer in Christus Jesu. Seid ihr aber Christi, so seid ihr ja Abrams Same und nach der Verheißung Erben.
Thank you, Sarah. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. And now we'll hear it in English.
Hear it in English? Okay.
Better. By faith in Christ, you are in direct relationship with God. Your baptism in Christ was not just washing you up for a fresh start. It also involved dressing you in an adult faith wardrobe, Christ's life, the fulfillment of God's original promise. In Christ's family, there can be no division into Jew and non-Jew, slave and free, male and female. Among us, you all are equal. That is, we are all in a common relationship with Jesus Christ. Also, since you are Christ's family, then you are Abraham's famous descendant, heirs according to the covenant promises. And our gospel lesson today is from John 17, 20 through 26. I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them, so they'll be as unified and together as we are in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you've loved me and loved them in the same way you've loved me. Almighty God, I want those who gave me to be with me, right where I am, so that they can see my glory, the splendor you gave me, having loved me long before there ever was a world. Righteous one, the world has never known you, but I have known you. And these disciples know that you sent me on this mission. I have made your very being known to them, who you are and what you do, and continue to make it known, so that your love for me might be in them, exactly as I am in them.
Amen. May God bless that reading as well as your hearing. It is God's holy word. Well, it was a night that none of us will ever forget. It was full of emotion and so much to think about. Words about his body being broken and his blood being poured out as signs of a new covenant. Not easy to understand. But then, to top it all off, Jesus began to pray. Now, we had heard him pray many times for those who came for healing or deliverance or just any other needs. Yet this time, his prayer was for us. We were caught off guard, totally unprepared for what we experienced as a result of hearing him pray aloud for us as a group. You know, so much happens in our souls when we hear someone pray for us aloud, especially as a group, while we're still present in the room. It was the passion in his voice and the power that surrounded him that filled the room. That's probably the reason we were drawn back to that upper room time and time again, because it was his prayer for us there that somehow sanctified it so that even those who came into it later, who had never even ever been there before, also experienced it as a holy, consecrated, power-filled place. See, we hadn't realized he saw us as a gift from God, given to him, and he was then glorified because of us. A group of common, uneducated, bickering, childish, fearful, and sometimes obnoxious people. We brought Jesus glory. Even today, folks in congregations who are full of weaknesses and uncertainties also bring Jesus glory. He began with his expression of thankfulness and gratitude to God for us. I mean, since we all belong to God and God had given us to him, so we belong to Jesus. Anyway, all that belong to Jesus belong to God, so we also belong to God. That awareness truly did impact us. And next, he interceded for us, asking God to keep us safe. See, he was leaving the world, yet we were going to stay in it. So he asked God to protect us so we would all be one. One heart, one mind, one soul. See, he had guarded and watched over us, but now he asked God to continue what he had started so we would remain one body. We knew that the love we had for one another came from him, but he asked God to keep it alive within us, to guard and protect our unity. I guess we hadn't really realized how important our unity was to Jesus. And modern-day Christians at God's church, your unity is extremely important to God, perhaps more than we'll ever understand. And then he prayed for our joy. Again, we hadn't realized our joy was important to him. So it was so important that it was part of his prayer. We forget. God wants us to have joy, indescribable joy. And not only did he ask God to protect our unity and give us joy, he asked God to protect us from the evil one. I mean, we already knew that we'd been called to live and behave, even to speak differently from others in the world. And since we were of this world, we didn't belong to the world any more than he belonged to the world. I mean, how often do we remember and realize we're not of the world any more than Jesus was of the world? How often do we remember that God calls the church to live and to function differently than the world, including how we relate to one another as Christians, as members in a covenant relationship rather than a corporate business model or earthly relationship? I guess he basically compared us to himself. See, we were no longer ordinary, common, earthly people to him. We had been endowed with heavenly characteristics, and we were now part of God's kingdom. We were no longer ordinary, common, earthly people. We'd been endowed with heavenly characteristics. We belong to God's kingdom, just like you do. Now, even though he made it very clear we were not of the world or we were not a part of the world, he didn't ask God to take us out of the world. Instead, he asked God to protect us from the world and to guard us from the evil one. But most importantly, he asked God to consecrate or sanctify, to make us holy people. even reminded God how he had consecrated himself willingly and obediently so we could receive God's truth from him. He reminded God how he gave himself for our sake, and that his consecration was for our consecration, our empowerment. I guess we felt it was our prayer of final ordination, of us believing and knowing and accepting that we had been set apart by God to do what Jesus had called us to do. Our training time was over. It was time now to go and be his disciples, his representatives, his presence in the world. There was one final request that we and God's church were called to claim. It sounded something like this. I don't only pray for these, I also pray for all those who will come to believe in me because of their testimony. I pray that all may be one, just as I am in you, God, and you are in me. I pray that all who believe and all who will come to believe will be one, one unified, holy, consecrated body, so the world will know and believe you sent me, God. Do you realize that in that final request that he prayed for all of you folks who now live in 2022, he prayed for all Christians who've come to believe, beginning with us as his disciples, for those who believe because of our testimony, and for everyone who has come to believe since then. Jesus prayed all believers might be one, that we would receive his glory and be unified the way that he and God are one and unified. His heartfelt desire was that the world would know God sent him and that God loves all people the same way that God loves Jesus. And what he wanted then, he still wants for all Christians, for all people today. Yes, Jesus wants every congregation to be filled with joy. And our joy will be fulfilled by the ways that we relate to God and to one another. The reality is, all his followers are different from the world. So that means our values and our standards should be different from the world's values and standards. Our priorities are to be centered on, well, what's best for the entire body, rather than on what helps any one individual member feel more comfortable. Now, as we battle the storms that the world sends our way, as we face the hostilities of the world, we can still find joy, that inexplicable joy, because, see, we know Jesus is in our midst, creating this bond between all Christians. And it's a bond that is stronger than any other force on earth or in heaven. And Jesus wants every congregation to be unified, to function as one body with one mind and one heart, the way that he and God function as one being with one mind and one heart. See, and that unity is how the world will know God sent Jesus into the world. So wherever that there may be divisions or any kind of exclusion or competition even between leaders in a congregation, that means the cause of Christ is being harmed and Jesus' prayer is being frustrated. And Jesus wants every congregation to be protected from the attacks of the enemy. You know, when we try to deal with issues on our own, in our own strength, or we forget to seek God's help, that then that's when the enemy can, you know, more easily win the battle. So that's why Jesus wants every congregation to be holy, consecrated, set apart, able to always seek God's truth. And God will equip us with all the qualities of heart and mind and character, whatever we need to accomplish God's plan and God's purpose for our existence. This unity for which Jesus prayed, it transcends all other differences and seeks to join all Christians over the world together in love. You know, at times, the cause of Christian unity has been injured because maybe leaders have loved their own way of being organized or their own rituals, their own rules and laws more than they loved each other. However, when Christians love one another the way Christ loved us, no congregation will ever exclude any person for any reason. Once Jesus' love has been implanted in our hearts, any barriers we try to erect are going to come down. The unity for which Jesus prayed is a supernatural force which defies explanation. Unity comes when we are all constantly aware that God's grace is being freely bestowed upon us, in us and through each of us as individuals and as a corporate body. The point is, let's be unified and see what God has in store for our future. And all God's people said, Amen.